The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs here on Cracked Sidewalks, where two unqualified podcasters talk about a disappointing basketball team. Phil, how are you doing?
Not great, Bob.
Anything you want to talk about? Anything you can think of? Any topics?
Anything? You know, nothing comes to mind. Maybe we should just spend like 45 to 50 minutes just talking about the weather or watching paint dry.
Yeah, I could give a Cap Marvel review if you want that.
Yeah, well, it couldn't be worse than what else I saw this weekend.
It was good, though. I enjoyed it. Cap Marvel's pretty good. Maybe not my favorite MCU movie, but it's not bad. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
But yeah, we are going to talk about Marquette basketball today, unfortunately. What we're going to do in today's show, you know, there's an episode of Family Guy where Stewie called it a compliment sandwich. We're going to do a good news sandwich, where we're going to start with something good, and then go through a lot of really bad stuff, and then we're going to end with something good. So, Phil, let's start with something good.
Yes, please.
Big East Awards. The Big East Awards came out on Sunday. Marcus Howard is a first-team All-Big East selection. No surprise there. He was unanimous. Also, Miles Powell, Phil Booth, and Eric Paschal were also unanimous first-team selections. So you figure one of those four will be the Big East Player of the Year. Sam Hauser was on the second team, All-Big East. And then Joey Hauser was on the All-Freshman team. Interesting enough, he was not unanimous on the All-Freshman team. Marcus Zagorowski from Creighton and James Akinjo from Georgetown were unanimous, so you're probably assuming one of them are going to get the Big East Freshman of the Year, which is disappointing, but maybe the way this team has played down the stretch maybe has cost them a few awards.
One would argue the way Joey has played the last, month, I would say warrants him not being the Freshman of the Year in the Big East. That's probably fair.
I've told you about my friend Ward, who I work with, who is a big Georgetown fan. And what he said this weekend hurt me very badly, but it was painfully true. He said James Akinjo went into Joey Hauser's house and took his Freshman of the Year award from him. I'm like, you know what?
Absolutely.
He probably did.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we get to the bad portion, we'll talk about how Marquette seemed apparently unable to do anything about it.
Yeah, I do wonder if – I don't think Marcus Howard has cost him himself the Big East Player of the Year with the team slide of late. I assume he's still going to win that. I think that's probably going to be announced on Monday or Tuesday of this week. I do think he's cost himself – a first-team All-American spot, maybe even a second-team All-American spot. His struggles have kind of coincided with the team struggles. But, you know, I thought we'd start with some good news before we got into the deep, dark place that Marquette basketball has taken us to the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it is good news. I mean, it's well-deserved for Marcus, Sam, and Joey. You'd love, and again, Theo's another one that's faded down the stretch, right? Doesn't have as many blocks in games over the last month or so, and is probably pressing. So I don't think there's any awards there for him for the taking.
They do give out a Defensive Player of the Year, don't they?
Yes, they do. But maybe he gets.
I think he would have a good shot at that. But we'll find out. I think those things Monday or Tuesday the individual awards, including the Coach of the Year, Wojo. Pretty safely had it 2 weeks ago, but now I'm not sure. Might be going to Kevin Willard, but again, let's get into the bad stuff, shall we?
Yeah, let's cleanse here for a good 45 minutes.
So your Marquette Golden Eagles have now lost four straight after being 12-2 and on the cusp of a Big East championship. And while we were deciding where to put the trophy and where to hang the banner, well, Villanova went and won the thing outright, even gave Marquette a chance at redemption on Saturday by losing to Seton Hall. But Marquette said, you know what, y'all can keep it for yourself.
That would have been a lot of work to get that trophy over to Milwaukee. And like it just the shipping alone was probably not worth it.
Just, you know, we got enough trophies, I guess. We just don't know where we put it. So we'll pass on the Big East championship this season. You know, the women got there, so one's enough for this year, I guess. Gosh, it's just, I can't use any other word other than disappointing when this team was on the cusp of a Big East title, and then goes out and loses four straight.
Well, the thing that was mind-boggling about it is, like, the three games before the Georgetown game, those three games, they lost in basically the same fashion, all three games, right? Like, high turnovers, just not valuing the ball, gave away leads late in the game, and just kind of choked those games away. The Georgetown game, everything but shooting percentage, like, they only had three turnovers the whole game, right? Like, if they out-rebounded Georgetown and committed three turnovers, if you had told me that before the game, I would have gone, brilliant, we're going to win by 15. But the shots just did not fall, and that's what was mind-boggling about it. That Georgetown game, when they had a chance on their home floor to win a share of the Big East title, they just all of a sudden, the one thing they were good at, which is shooting and scoring, just seemingly disappeared.
Yeah, it's I keep using the word disappointing, but the thing I can't get over is they had two sellout crowds the last two home games of the season and turned in two of their worst performances, honestly. Because losing at Villanova, you can get over, right?
And right.
I think all of us, after the Villanova loss, like, whatever. Sometimes you go on the road and lose to good teams. And if they'd taken care of business against Creighton and Georgetown, I think you could have forgiven losing at Seton Hall, too. Because, I mean, Seton Hall's got the 3 seed in the Big East tournament, and they're pretty safely in the NCAA tournament, I would say, at this point. So you could get over that. But to lose at home to two teams that Marquette was probably a 7-point or greater favorite in both of those games, with a chance to win a conference title on the line in front of sellout crowds, what a letdown that is.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, the crowd admittedly in the Creighton game, I think everyone kind of assumed we had it in the bag. The crowd wasn't that energetic. Maybe it was a Sunday and everyone was disappointed that Chick-fil-A within the Pfizer was not open or whatever.
Understandable.
But the Georgetown game, the crowd was into it. I mean, the crowd was actively, you know, especially late in the game, trying to get that team back into that game.
Crowd was buzzing because when they showed up to the arena that day, they weren't sure they were going to have a chance to see a Big East trophy handed out. But then I know you guys all saw the score, and you texted me a picture of, like, everybody was huddled around televisions in the minutes before the game, just keeping an eye on the game. So you guys all entered the arena. It's like, hey, we got a chance to win a title. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone was ready to go, except for seemingly the actual players themselves. So it was, you know, but it's just maddening, right? Like the Seton Hall game, they lost the game on an 18-0 run. They gave up 18 points and scored no points of their own. And the Georgetown game, they could not get it. They could not get stops and or rebounds when they needed to. It makes you wonder, does this team, like, we've talked about in the past, the previous years, they have no experience, right? And this year, while they're older, they have not really played in games that matter, anyone on this team. Is that rearing its ugly head? Is this the season where this team has to learn how to play from in front, has to learn how to play when something significant is on the line, because they've never had to play that way?
I mean, maybe, but I don't know if I could just pin it all on that, because as recently as 3 weeks ago, they were doing that. I mean, they were in a race with Villanova for a Big East championship. They beat Villanova a few weeks ago. They've been able to close out games before. They've made their free throws and been able to make good decisions down the stretch, and all of a sudden they just stopped.
Yeah,
just
but
after the Villanova game, they just suddenly can't close a game. And, like, they're collapsing in the sense of the standings, as they've lost four straight, but they're also collapsing within the games, having double-digit leads in, I think, three of the four.
Yep.
And it was a 7 or 8 point lead in the Georgetown game, and not being able to close out any of those things. So the term collapse can apply to several factors right now.
Yeah, and you know, and like I said, like, if three of the games were lost all the same way, and then they had come back and won the Georgetown game, I would have said, okay, we fixed it. But they presumably fixed what was going on in the first three games and still lost the Georgetown game. But again, I mean, if I want to be optimistic, they shot way below their season average for 3% and two-point shots, and they were open looks. They were good looks. Like, Sam clanked a couple of shots that were not – that were just wide open. Marcus missed a couple of shots that were wide open as well. That might have turned the tide. And quite frankly, Georgetown shot out of their mind in that game. But, you know, if you take it in a vacuum, I think that's relevant, right? That you're going to have those games where the other team's going to shoot way better and you're going to shoot way less than you normally do, and then you get a result. And you could maybe played, you know, really well. But, like, this is just another way that they've lost. I mean, I don't have confidence as a fan in this team. What must the team themselves be thinking at this point?
It's got to be in their heads at this point. Like, especially, like you said, like they seemingly fixed the turnover issue, or maybe Georgetown just did not have a defensive strategy to press them and force turnovers. I don't think Georgetown has a very good defensive reputation to begin with. But they were able to go a whole game with an acceptable number of turnovers and still lost. And it's got to be in their heads, like, no matter what we do, we seem like we're going to go out and lose every single game now. And I don't know how you shake that off with the Big East tournament and then the NCAA tournament coming up right after that.
Well, it's...
You just got to have that feeling of free fall that no matter what you can do, this team's going south.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, and again, we've got the potential, and we'll talk about the Big East tournament in a little bit, but, I mean, we got the potential that we're playing might face the ultimate Big East boogeyman for this team for a third time in St. John's. And if this team loses in the opening round of the Big East tournament, I mean, my confidence is somewhere – I don't care if they're a 4 or 5 seed. If they lose in the Big East tournament in the opening round, they've got to be a 5 seed at least, I would think. But if they lose, you know, on Thursday, I have no confidence that they can win the first game of the opening of the tournament.
Oh, yeah,
at this point,
it is more likely than not that they only have 2 games left in their season.
Right,
I think.
Yeah,
I'm scared to death of facing St. John's for the third time because the way St. John's is seemingly just has Marquette's number. They defend Howard very well, and Pond seems to get as many shots as he wants against Marquette. And so it'd be funny because Marquette would literally be dragging St. John's into the tournament.
Yep.
If that happens. Like, St. John's would have like 4 great wins on his resume, and 3 of them would be Marquette.
Yeah, and you got to wonder though, at some point, if this kid continues, at what point does Marquette stop being a good win? You
yeah,
know?
Right. Yeah, like, it's like, oh, St. John's, all you really did this year was beat Marquette, and they kind of suck. So,
right.
I don't know. But you know, before we get into the Big East tournament and kind of break down that, one thing I did want to ask is this is something some people were talking about after the game. Big picture, is this team a disappointment? Because it feels like a disappointment right now, right? Because
yeah.
Just because they were so close to a championship, and then they lost 4 straight and finished in second place without even a share of the title. But if you go back to our preseason predictions, as put together by the good guys over there at Paint Touches, it's about where most of us expected. To give you a little recap of what we all predicted, we of the Marquette Media Mafia here on on social media, so maybe the Mub Mafia on the MUBB hashtag. There were 8 of us who participated in the little survey. The average record came out to 23.5 and 7.5. So basically right on point. So maybe a half game worse than we averaged out. Three of the people who participated in the survey had Marquette right at 23 wins. 3 had more. You and I were there, Phil. 2 people had Marquette at 22 wins. 6 of the 8 of us predicted Marquette to finish 2nd in the Big East. So you and I were in that boat. We both had them finishing 2nd. I think it was Anonymous Eagle that had them finishing 1st. And the collective Crack Sidewalks predictions had them finishing 3rd. Everybody else had them finishing 2nd. So right on the nose there, they finished 2nd. The average seed projection, pulling all of our averages, it came out to about 4.8, so about a 5. So Marquette, for what it's worth in the latest bracket matrix, Marquette is predicted as the second best 5 seed. I don't know how many of those brackets include the Georgetown loss, but Marquette is a 5 and falling right now. So, again, probably about right on the nose. But basically, the preseason predictions were pretty much Marquette hit them exactly. About 23 wins, second in the Big East, roughly a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. So, from that perspective, met expectations? But does it feel like it?
See, that it's tough. Because I think they met expectations. And Ben Schneider, who's part of the Anonymous Eagle team, said something on Twitter after the game and you know, something to the effect of, you know, when do we start the narrative of, you know, if the conference season was flipped and Marquette had lost 4 to start and basically won out the majority of the conference going out, would we feel different or better? And there's some point to that, right? Like, I don't know. It depends on how you ultimately measure things. It is a missed opportunity, no doubt. But if I'm stepping back and being less emotional, I think the expectations have been met. I think we still continue to see a positive trend on the season. But damn, is it if it isn't frustrating that like it's like a switch flip. They went from a competent, well coached team with a lot of depth to these last 4 games. They just, I mean, have looked like a different team, and I don't know what accounts for that. And so I think it's, if you're being scientific, yes, expectations met, but emotionally, it's about the worst I've felt about a Marquette team in about 5 years, because at least I, you know, in the previous years, I always had the built-in excuse of, well, they're getting better, but they're not good. Now we knew they were good and they're getting worse. And that feels awful.
Yeah. Like, that's why I do kind of have to reject that idea that, like, well, would we feel better if it was reversed? Well, yeah, we would, because in that scenario, it would be obvious that the team got better.
Right.
You're improving if you, like, lose your first 4 and then win 12 of your next 14. Say, hey, they got better. They improved a lot. That's great. But it's not that way. It's the opposite. They were number 10 in the nation, and when the new polls come out on Monday, I expect them to be unranked.
Correct. Yep.
And to have a conference title handed to you on a silver platter and then just fumble it away and lose 4 straight. Yeah. You know, I it's honestly a little similar to the 2014 team, which went 0 for March, as you may recall. They lost their last 3 regular season games and then the first round game of the Big East tournament. And then they missed the tournament, and then Buzz took off for Virginia Tech. So that's kind of it's a similar feeling to that, although I think we kind of had a sense with that team that it wasn't a great team at that point. So I don't think, like, heading into that 3-game losing streak at the end of 2014, I don't think many of us were thinking, hey, this is a team that could do some damage in the tournament. They're really good. I think we kind of had a blah feeling anyway with that 2014 team. The difference, you know, this 2019 squad, I think we were all really excited about this team 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
And you know, like, even if some of the metrics suggested they were a little overrated and were probably, you know, had some vulnerabilities that could lead to a first-round upset in the NCAA tournament and whatnot. They were still ranked 10 in the country. They were on the verge of a conference title. And now it's gone. And, you know, for me, that's why I have to say, yes, that it is a disappointment, because you can't tell the story of this season without saying, yeah, but they lost their last 4 and lost a chance at the championship. Because that's what you're going to remember. Hey, remember the 2019 team? Like, you know, we're talking about it 3, 4, 5 years from now. Remember the 2019 team? Oh, yeah, that was the team that was 10 in the country, right? And then finished unranked? Or the team that was 10th in the nation and lost 4 straight when they had a chance to win a conference title? So that's, unfortunately, that's the way this team is going to be remembered, which is a real shame, which is what I said on Twitter after the game. Because 2 weeks ago, we would have said, what a great season this has been. Salute to Wojo. Let's give him a big extension because he deserves it. He's really proven he's got this thing going. This team is really laying some groundwork to do some damage in the tournament this year, maybe, but possibly be even better next year. But that's kind of all out the window for me now, because I have no faith in the tournament, no faith in the team in the postseason this year. And, you know, if we're bringing back the exact same guys next year, you would hope it's going to be better, but Now I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, that's why the only thing I if I'm being optimistic, I have to pin my hopes on is the team just – it was a brand new situation that this team got into, right, in terms of, hey, we got a chance to close this out against Villanova and win a conference title. And the team just I don't know any other way. They just choked. They got caught up in it. And then when they started to lose, it steamrolled and they just couldn't win. And, you know, and just a series of things going against them. Like I said, the Georgetown game, they missed shots that they should have hit, and Georgetown hit shots that they shouldn't have hit. Mac McClung apparently, you know, can get any foul he wants, just by flopping around, and it just, I don't know. This team is going in a direction they have to win, a Big East tournament game, because otherwise I think they're cooked in March. I don't think they win it. If they don't win a Big East tournament game, I don't think they win a game in March. And then that would absolutely, be a disappointment. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't go as so far as to, you know, to say, hey, you know, Wojo's seat is, you know, he needs to be fired or something. But I mean, talk about a turnaround that within 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we might go from give that guy an extension as soon as possible to, well, let's sit on that extension and hope next year's really good. 'Cause if it's not, we're looking for a new coach.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. We'll probably never know, but I would love to know how these previous four games and whatever happens over the next couple weeks is going to affect the inevitable contract extension for Wojo, because I assume he'll get one, but at this point it may just tack on 2 years as opposed to maybe a, you know, 3, 4, 5 year extension with a significant raise. It may be a modest raise at this point, with maybe tacking only 1 year on the end of it. Because, you know, I'm sure they were at least behind the scenes discussing an extension for pretty much all of February. So, hey, you know, he's done a nice job. Let's probably, you know, get the details of this worked out. We'll announce it when the time is right. Well, now, I don't think anybody wants to hear about an extension.
No.
No fan.
I mean,
no fan wants to hear, I don't think now's the time to announce it. So I'm guessing we wouldn't hear anything about it until after the season's over, maybe well after the season's over. But, yeah, but I would love to know, like, what kind of huge offer or extension they were maybe preparing and maybe how that's changing to what is eventually going to be announced.
Yeah, I do agree that an extension of some sort is probably inevitable, because you don't want him to go in a last year of a contract or something.
Is next year's last year? I want to say he has a couple more.
I think he has two more.
Yeah,
right. 2020 is his last, contract year. So he's got two more. So obviously going into next season, you wouldn't. But, you know, you're recruiting players that are presumably going to be here 3 or 4 years, and they'd like to know the coach has a contract beyond when they're going to be here. So, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, it makes sense. But you know, especially if March continues to go to the way March is going, you know, it's something they announce in August on a Friday after Donald Trump has done something insane, right? Like, just get it buried in the news cycle.
Yeah, the next big sports scandal that comes out or whatever. Maybe the day when the trials start in April.
Yeah.
Something with, yeah, when they start releasing some tapes. Yeah, maybe that might be a good time to drop it. So, but yeah, who knows? I would agree with you. There is going to be an extension for the sake of recruiting. But, you know, who knows? It may be smaller number, something that you're comfortable buying out if things go poorly the next couple years. But hopefully enough to keep him happy and so that he can go about his job and do the best job he can. So maybe he gets to the point that, like, all right, now we're sure about this. That's the thing that sucks, because I felt pretty sure about this thing with Wojo a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of back to the whole thing where I was at the, you know, at the end of last season, where I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, but how much of this? I mean, I want to talk about how Marcus Howard does not have a clutch gene. I mean, two out of these four games with Marquette down a possession and the ball. Marcus has presumably gone up to take a shot and just flat out had the ball fly out of his hands straight up into the air. You know, so we need to talk about that, but not to divert away from the Wojo talk just yet. How much of this do you put on Wojo?
I mean, quite a bit, honestly. I mean, if your team is not right mentally, I think that's on you, because you have to prepare them mentally, and you have to prepare them from a scheme standpoint. And you know, when you're turning the ball over, you got to try to fix that. And to his credit, I guess he did kind of fix that in the Georgetown game, but everything else went to hell. But it's always on the coach. So yeah, I would put quite a bit on Wojo the last few weeks, because I can't say I could put it on one player or two players, because it's just an overall collective blah performance by the team as a whole.
Yeah, that's true. So it does have to go on Wojo, and I mean, he's taking ownership, but that's not worth the Sherman extra soft he wipes himself with. You know, it's like, you gotta see results. I really think that if this team does not win in March, next year, without significant results next year, and by significant results I mean challenging for the conference title and
basically
winning
where we were 2 weeks ago and finish
yes.
it.
Yes, right, correct. But if we don't lose again, if we don't win again in March, next season is the year, period, for me. Like, that's the last year, and you better challenge for a conference title, and you better win at least two games in March. Otherwise, I have zero confidence you can actually do it. Because if you're not going to do it with the team this year or the team next year, what confidence do I have that you're going to win with any team beyond that?
Dude, somebody cracked me up on Twitter after the game. Somebody hit me with a comment. Said, hey, maybe Coach K will retire, and then Wojo will move on. I'm like, Jesus, you think Duke would want him right now?
They wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. The only one worse than that is Chris Collins.
I mean, for a lot of programs, it'd be great. But for Duke, for the number one program in the country? Holy crap, dude. Hopefully he can build his resume to a point that it would be worthy of the Duke job. But it just isn't right now. And the funny thing is, this team could flip a switch and get to the Elite Eight, and then we would just do a total 180 on our Wojo takes in a couple weeks, and I hope it gets to that point. But it's just so hard to be confident to see the way this team has collapsed. And when your team is in free fall towards the end of the season, I have been there with other teams that I follow. There's just no end in sight, and you're just waiting for the season to be over, because you just don't feel any confidence at all that a team that is just totally collapsed down the stretch is going to get to the postseason like, all right, now we're going to fix it. Now it's going to be right.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just to put it in perspective, and these numbers just kind of make me sick when you look at it. If you look at the win probability in the last four games, so what Marquette's probability of winning the game at that, you know, at some point, right? The Villanova game had the lowest of Marquette's high win probability at something like 76%. There was late in the game, they had a 76% chance of winning it, basically. The Creighton game, they had a 90% chance of winning it. The Seton Hall game, they had a 95% chance of winning it. And the Georgetown game, they had a 95.2% chance at one point. Like, that
look
is
at those win probabilities is like watching somebody die of a heart attack.
Exactly. Like, it's that's the thing that's baffling. Like, they had at least two out of the four games, right? And should have won all four. And so that's the thing, you go, okay, so as bad as these four games were, they were still in them, right? They weren't getting blown out. But what expectation do we have that all of a sudden they're losing these close games? What expectation do we have that they can turn on a dime and start winning these types of games? Because those are the only types of games we got left. are those games where the consequence is high and you got to close a team out. I mean, Marcus even missed a free throw at the end of the Georgetown game. Like, yep. How does that happen?
Yeah, and in the previous three games, I think it was Brian Baranowski on Twitter who pointed it out that I don't know, I didn't see an updated stat for this to include the Georgetown game, but in the three previous ones, just Marquette's shooting percentage was abysmal, and you know, Howard was 0-for-9 in the last 5 minutes of those three games combined. And I think it was the Seton Hall game, like, he like not that it's all on him, but just look, stats are stats and facts are facts. Like, he re-entered the game. I think Marquette had a 9-point lead at the time with about 9 minutes to go. No made field goals on 4 attempts and a turnover, and the lead evaporated. Seton Hall won comfortably. And again, I know that comes off as saying it's all on him, and it isn't. But again, facts are facts. And, like, I hate the whole clutch gene discussion because, you know, the way Skip Bayless applies it to LeBron and crap like that. But the cold hard truth is Marcus Howard has had some rough moments at the end of games, to put it lightly. And I hate saying it because he's been so incredible. He was deserving of a first-team All-American spot 2 weeks ago. And, you know, I love to, as much as I love to joke about our rivals over there in Madison and their All-American candidate and how you can't have him at the floor in the end of games, really can't make that joke now because I'm not sure we want our All-American candidate on the floor at end of games because he's been struggling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even think about the Villanova game in Milwaukee. Everyone remembers because Marquette won, but Howard had a relatively egregious turnover at the end of the game when we could have all but iced it that led to Villanova having the chance for Booth to get the bucket. So, you know, we're certainly a long shot away with Howard away from the Creighton of 2 years ago of you want to go home, let's go home and sinking free throws to close out the game or whatever. And you're right. It's not all on him. I mean, Sam was throwing up some garbage at the end of the Georgetown game too. But that's part of the coaching and that's part of the players are they just are panicking in these games. And I don't
understand
why. Both
Hauser brothers have had a lot of issues with turnovers.
Yes.
Pretty much everyone's disappeared down the stretch in all these games, honestly. The only guy I'm not going to say anything bad about really is Bailey. I think Bailey played a great game. I think Bailey's had 2 great games this year, both against Georgetown. But overall, the entire team is faded down the stretch. But, I mean, you can't ignore the poor numbers from Marcus in the last few minutes of these games and these 4-minute stretches. And, you know, he's the guy you think you would want out there because he's a great free throw shooter. And he's a guy who can normally get a bucket when he needs one, but the turnovers are a problem. And I don't know what it is. Maybe his handle just isn't as tight as it needs to be because he does turn over. And like there have been a few times, like I said, the ball just slips right out of his hand, like it's covered in grease. And you just can't have that. So like the lack of ball handlers on Marquette's roster is a big concern because just by default, Marcus is the guy who has to handle the ball. But if he has to give it up, I don't know who you want to have the ball if the team's pressing or trying to really, you know, crank up the pressure in the half court and try to force you to make a decision, put up a shot. Seems like no matter who you give the ball to, he's a turnover risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sakar was bringing it up. I mean, we are, and we talked about way back at the beginning of the season was, you know, is Sakar the emergency point guard? And we may almost be there.
He may have to be because, Chartoon, he turns it over a bunch. I mean, he was brought in to, you know, for some insurance at the point guard spot, but his turnover rate is worse than Marcus's. It might be one of the worst on the team as far as guards or guys who handle
the ball. It's considerably worse. I mean, he's almost twice of what Marcus's is, and Marcus hasn't got a great turnover ratio, right? I mean, you just don't know where
yeah,
this is going.
He's far and away worst on the team on turnover rate. He's at 35. Nobody else is in the 30s.
Right. It's just – and everybody's pressing. I mean, Theo and Ed have continued to struggle. You know, now Ed had a really good game against Georgetown, but have continued to struggle with foul trouble of late. Like, they're trying to do too much. The Hausers are seemingly having grease before every game and not thinking to wipe their hands off because they're booting the ball all over the court. Collectively, the team has just gone to garbage, and you wonder how they fix it.
And that's my issue is I don't think there's enough time to fix it. They just kind of are what they are at this point, and they just got to roll the ball out there and hope the other team makes more mistakes, or hope the other team didn't check the film, or hope the other team just can't make shots. Because that's really my only answer right now. Because I don't think you can get in the gym over there at the Al McGuire Center this weekend or on Monday, because I guess they, I don't know when they leave for New York, but you're just not going to fix it all. And like, you're going to, you're not, no matter how hard you practice, how much film study they're going to do, it's hard for me to imagine these guys are going to be leaving Milwaukee and heading to New York thinking, we got this. We, you know, we're putting this behind us and we've got it fixed. There's going to be something hanging, even if they say it publicly, that like, hey, you know, we're right, we're shaking it off, we're going to do our best. There's got to be something in the back of their minds that they can't shake that is telling them, you're not very good right now, and everything you do seems to go to hell. So it's something that can't be shaken. I don't think New York's going to go very well for them. I don't think the NCAA tournament's going to go very well for them. I hate to say it, but at this point, I'm just kind of riding it out, just waiting for the season to end, because it's hard for me to see good things happening the way this team's played the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's amazing how that – I mean, it's a broken record, but it's amazing how far we've fallen in 2 weeks, right? Like, we were talking about a trophy on the Villanova's court, and now we're like, I don't think we can win another game.
Yeah, that's kind of where we all are right now, and I would love to be proven wrong, but damn. Please attempt to prove me wrong. But
yeah,
for what the rec, you know, if you're looking ahead to the NCAA tournament and seeds and stuff. So with Marquette being a 5 seed right now, ballpark of maybe some teams you may see in that on that 12 line: North Carolina State, Arizona State, Clemson, Temple, Murray State. That one would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah,
Belmont if they get in, that scares the hell out of me. Liberty, couldn't play Creighton in the first round because they're projected first four out. Indiana, could see them again. Alabama, Furman is another possibility. Any team that's going to come from a disrespected league would terrify me, because I think they're going to show up ready to play and they're going to execute, and I think they would beat this Marquette team solidly. What I would love to see is, like, honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing a team like Alabama, or, you know, a team like Texas, a team that is just, or Florida that is just, or TCU that is just limping into the tournament. Kind of like us.
Kind of like us, with the smoke pouring out of the engine, oil on the windshield.
And just try to win a rock fight with a team like that. That's who I would like Marquette to face in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Because then I'd think, well, they're just as sloppy and tired and beaten up as we are. Maybe we could scratch this out and build some momentum. I would want no part of Murray State or Belmont or Liberty or Furman or a team like that, because they are just going to be so fired up to be there, and they're going to be confident. And I just don't think Marquette will be.
I really don't want to see Liberty, because isn't that the home of a former Marquette point guard?
Dawson's not there anymore. I think.
Oh no, he left.
Yeah, I think it's been a while with him. I think he's in the G League, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, but either that or he's overseas. But no, Dawson's not there anymore.
Okay. Dawson would scare me.
Yeah, the ghost of John Dawson. But, you know, it's a shame. Like, because if Marquette could have maintained its momentum and been on that 3-4 line, right, you know, looking at some of the potential matchups on that, you know, New Mexico State, Hofstra, UC Irvine, Vermont, Old Dominion, Yale, Georgia State, you know, a lot of teams from one-bid leagues. Those are teams that are basically, according to bracket matrix, projected to or have already won their leagues. You know, those are, you know, while they would also be fired up to be there and maybe would, you know, certainly present a challenge, Marquette would be a comfortable favorite over all those teams, right? And so if Marquette could have maintained its momentum, then they'd be in great shape to get that, you know, get a first win and maybe see its way to the second weekend. Now you're falling to that 5-6, maybe even, yikes, all the way down to a 7 line. Then I think you're in all kinds of trouble. And, like, where an upset is like a 50-50 proposition.
Right. Well, and that's where you're talking about ending up someplace where, you know, maybe Marquette has a, you know, much like the South Carolina game, right, where we get slotted geographically somewhere where, you know, we may be the lower seed or the higher seed. However, we got to decide on what directions we give these seeds. But the smaller number seed, but we're in a worse geographical location because we're playing close to somebody else's house or something like that.
I say higher seed meaning better. Like a 1 is a higher than a 2. That's
right.
That's how I use it.
Okay, then we'll go with that. But yes, we're a higher seed, but the lower seed is the geographical, you know, local or whatever.
Yeah,
because right?
At some point the committee just has to put somebody somewhere. They just like, all right, look, we're just throwing this team there, and that's what they're seeded. Too bad, so sad. Just go play the games. So, before we start crying and, you know, writing this team's eulogy, they do have a Big East tournament to play, and who knows? Maybe they will stun us. Maybe they will go play a pickup game, or go have a practice in some plain white T-shirts at a empty court somewhere in the greater New York area, and maybe fix this thing. But so they're the 2 seed in the Big East tournament. Mentioned earlier, Phil, they are going to get the winner of DePaul St. John's. By the way, off topic, I would feel like DePaul has probably had its best Big East season, and it still finished 10th.
Yeah, that's
like,
weird.
This is probably the best DePaul's been since realignment, maybe. But still 10th. So sucks for them, but hey, that's DePaul. But anyway, so they would get the winner of St. John's DePaul. I could be talked into them beating DePaul and maybe just at least to get a win on – just to get a win under the belts and just kind of shake this thing. But I really can't have much confidence that they would go much further than one win, because if they get that, they would get the winner of Seton Hall, Georgetown, assuming that's Seton Hall. But, you know, Georgetown, they're in a position where they could play their way in. So I wouldn't count out the Hoyas. How are you feeling now that you've seen the bracket, Phil?
Not great.
Me neither. I feel terrible, honestly.
Because every, with the exception of DePaul, every team on our side of the bracket has beaten us in the last 2 weeks, or has beaten us twice. Like there's not, you know, it's weird that I long for Xavier and or potentially Creighton, right? I don't know.
I would be seriously concerned about the overall mental health of Marquette fans if they lose to DePaul on Thursday.
If they lose to DePaul in the Big East tournament, I mean, honestly. No, it couldn't be a Wojo firing, but I mean, it would be darn near, right? Like,
the pitchforks would be out on Twitter, though.
Oh, for sure. The Twitter, MUBB Twitter would burn like that, yeah, like
to the ground.
Yeah, that just would be horrible, especially since it happened last year, too.
They escaped a buzzer beater.
Oh, no, they did.
Last
yes, that's
tournament.
Right.
Max Strus missed one at the buzzer in the Big East tournament.
That's
if I
right.
Remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They you're right, because then they got boat raced by Villanova in the next game.
That's correct.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Whether it's St. John's or DePaul, like, and here's the question, right? Like, okay, so they've been on a really bad tear. Let's say they play St. John's, right? Like, they've beaten DePaul twice, both times relatively handily. So, you know, maybe there's some confidence there. But let's say they get St. John's. If they beat St. John's, do you think, you know, having St. John's having beat them twice, do you think that mentally clears the block that enables them
to play
well?
It certainly would help. You kind of get that monkey off your back of beating a team that has really embarrassed you twice. Well, I mean, the second game was close, but still, that happened on their home floor. That was their first loss at Fiserv Forum. So I would say embarrassed twice, but in different ways. One, just by the scoreboard, because they blew them out the first time. And then they come into your house and beat you the second time. So, yes, a team that has your number to get past that mental block, maybe, yeah, you clear your head, and maybe you can, who knows, maybe you can get on a little bit of a run and try to get to the final. But, yeah, I think that would be helpful, but... Gosh, St. John's has played so well against Marquette, and they'll be the home team as far, you know, 10 Madison Square Garden, obviously. I feel terrible about the idea of playing St. John's in the Garden.
Yeah. Well, now, for what it's worth, the voice of Marquette Radio, Steve the Homer True, has gone on Twitter to predict that Marquette will go all the way to the Big East Final.
I love his optimism.
Love it. But I will have some of what he's having, and it's probably some form of marijuana. But no, that they're
or maybe as Bill Raftery says, maybe a little lemonade.
Yes, but yeah, there ain't no way I see it right now, given the way this team has been playing.
I would be shocked if this team is in the Big East final. I'll put it that way. Absolutely shocked.
What a roller coaster that would be, right? Like to go from like, oh my God, we might win a championship to my God, we have just wasted everything and we're the worst back to, hey, we're in the Big East final. We're going to be pretty good.
And then they get a trophy anyway.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'd love to see it. I cannot get my brain there. And I'm the optimistic one, right?
Like, yeah, I know. You're the optimistic one. Of all those preseason predictions I was mentioning earlier, you were far and away the most optimistic, which I'm sure that comes as no surprise to you or longtime listeners to this podcast. Actually, you know what? I take that back. You weren't the most optimistic. Anonymous Eagle was.
Well,
you had Marquette at 25 wins, second in the Big East, and a 3 seed. Anonymous Eagle had Marquette at 26 wins, first in the Big East, and a 2 seed. So you weren't – so maybe you were trying to temper your expectations back then, perhaps.
Just not – clearly not enough. I've learned my lesson. Next season, we're not going to win any games.
The lesson here is never be optimistic about anything, and you'll never be disappointed. So, Phil, let's do a Big East tournament prediction. One – how far does Marquette go? And two, who wins it overall?
Oh, geez.
I'll go first.
Okay, you go first.
Think about it for a second. I am going to go full pessimist and say Marquette does lose to St. John's in the first game. And you know what? My St. John's prediction that I threw out a few weeks ago, it's still on track. They are solidly on the bubble right now. My prediction was St. John's would enter the Big East tournament on the bubble, win the thing, get overseeded, and then get humiliated in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I think I'm just going to have to stick with it. So I'm going to say St. John's beats Marquette and then wins the whole damn thing.
Nice.
4 games in 4 days. Everyone's going to be touting Shamari Pons and Chris Mullen. What a great job he's done. And then in the tournament. So that's what I'm going with. I'm tempted to take Seton Hall, though, because I think it sets up nicely for Seton Hall to win this thing, because while St. John's is the quote-unquote home team, they're like the quasi-home team because they're just from, you know, just across the way there in Newark. But they get Georgetown in the first round. That's a team they can beat. Then they will get whoever survives the shootout between probably St. John's and Marquette. They just beat Marquette a few weeks ago, or this past week. And they've beaten St. John's, of course. So, and then, you know, then anything could happen in the final. So, as tempted as I am to take Seton Hall to win the whole thing, I'm just going to stick with my irrational St. John's prediction that they're just going to get hot in the tournament that doesn't matter, and they're going to win this. So I'll take St. John's to not only beat Marquette, but win the whole thing.
Well, I now no longer have to explain myself because I was going to pick Seton Hall to win the whole thing.
Okay.
So what I was hemming and hawing over was whether or not I was going to turn into my newfound pessimistic Phil mentality or not. And you know what? Marquette's going to lose. They are going to lose to St. John's. And nothing will be good again. And I think Seton Hall wins the whole tournament.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was tempted to go that way, but just because I threw out St. John's winning the thing a few weeks ago, I'm just going to have to stick by that. So, but I think the winner of Seton Hall St. John's wins the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's accurate. I mean, I think Villanova is not kind of turning on the switch, right? And they've lost some games that they should have won, obviously, and so they're not as intimidating as they used to be. And you know, quite frankly, they probably don't care that much, right?
I think Seton Hall's probably feeling really good right now, because I think it's pretty safe to say they punched their dance ticket after being on the bubble earlier in the week. Like, I actually mentioned that in last week's pod, saying, while it's a tough week for Seton Hall, it could be a great week if they get 2 wins, and that's exactly what they did. They beat Marquette, they beat Villanova, and they punched their ticket, so good for them. So I thought they did a great job, and we'll see if they can keep the momentum rolling this week. So I think they're a good pick to win the Big East tournament, for sure. Hey, another prediction, because the next time we do a podcast, Phil, will be after Selection Sunday. We know Marquette's path and where they're going to be seated. So, seed for Marquette.
I think it's going to be a 5. I don't think there's any way they fall back to a 6. And again, I have to embrace my they're never going to win again. And so I think they end up as a 5 seed.
I think if sticking with my prediction that they're going to lose to St. John's, I think that does knock them down to a 6. I think they'll be the best six, especially if, like, say, teams like Nevada and Buffalo win their conference tournaments. Maybe they inch up a little bit. Some of the other teams, they're kind of, if you like this is according to Bracket Matrix, these are teams that are kind of around Marquette in the 5-6 range. Virginia Tech, Maryland, Mississippi State, Nevada, Nova, Buffalo, Auburn. So if Nova advances further than Marquette in the Big East tournament, they may surpass them on the seed line. And then who knows about the others? Auburn, you know, if Auburn goes deep in the SEC, they have a chance to get some good wins. They had a really nice one against Tennessee. Although the rest, their resume was pretty empty before that Tennessee win. But now they've got at least one win. If they could add more, that could help. But yeah, I don't, you know, some people say, well, Marquette, are they on the bubble now? Or are they going to be on the 8-9? They're not. It's a long way down to 8-9. Like, you look at the teams and their resumes on that 8-9-10 line, it's a long way down. So as bad as it's been the last couple weeks, I would be shocked if Marquette fell past a six, but I'm going to go with they'll be the best six, the highest seeded six on the S curve. So that's going to be my prediction is where they're going to come out on Selection Sunday. Which is a bummer, but hey, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's whiplash from where we were 2 weeks ago, where we were talking about fighting for a two seed.
Yeah. In some ways, it's more comfortable being back talking about negative things because it's what we've done for so long.
Well, I was going to say, I almost would rather us at this point fall to a 9 or a 10 seed just because then we can fall. Like, clearly we don't do the hunted very well. We're much better being the hunter this season.
Yeah, then they could play the disrespect card.
Right, right.
That nobody believes in us.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that's at least a mentality that they maybe can get behind, but you know, I don't know.
Begging this team to prove us wrong.
Right.
Just prove all of us wrong because we loved this team 2 weeks ago and now we're just like, oh, just show us something. You know that meme, the guy poking something with a stick, do something.
Yeah.
Do something.
Oh god. I mean, the last 2 weeks have got to be the worst coaching in the Wojo era, and if it continues, we're in some real trouble for this off season. We're not going to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, a lot of angst. Might be a little tough, but hey, I promised earlier that we would do the good news sandwich. So the middle of this sandwich was pretty beefy. we got a whole.
There was a lot of Arby's roast beef in there.
Boy, that was that. That's more than a. Is there a double beef and cheddar or a triple beef and cheddar? Do they have that?
Because I don't
that's
know
what that was.
Yes.
So we're going to finish with some positive news. Former Marquette Golden Eagle Brian Wardle is going to be in the NCAA tournament. His Bradley Braves won the Missouri Valley, so good for him.
Yeah, congrats, coach, and it's good to see them getting a chance. And Coach Wardle's definitely. Making an impression early in his head coaching career.
Not to name drop or anything, but I go to AAU tournaments in the summer, you know, because there's always one in Dallas, for my job and shooting AAU basketball. And I was there and I saw both John Harris and Brian Wardle. They were just standing next to each other, catching up. And so I was standing next to him and just took a minute and said, "Hey guys, I'm Joe, you know, Marquette grad, big fan of you guys, and you know, congrats on." You know, being head coaches, and so we just chatted for a minute, and you know, I was just talking with Wardle, and I said, you know, how's your team looking this year? And he goes, I think we're about a year away, man. I think we're really right on the verge of a breakthrough, and that's what he told me this past summer. So maybe he's right. They were right there. So he had a feeling that his team. Maybe every coach would say that before the season, but he told me last summer. He says, I think we're right there. I think we're really close to a breakthrough. Maybe a year or so away, but he's like, we're right there. So. He's going to be in the tournament. I'm happy for him because he was never there as a player, right? Because Marquette made it in 97, and then he showed up as a freshman in 98. They did not go in 98, 99, or the first 2 years under Crean in 2000 and 2001. And then the year after Wardle graduated, that's when they got back in the tournament, which, you know, some guy who wears number 3 showed up, and that kind of changed some things. But – yeah, so Wardle never got there as a player, and he never quite got there at Green Bay. Like, I think Green Bay made it the year after he left.
Yep, they did.
To go to Bradley, So while he didn't quite get Green Bay to the tournament, he got them very close. He got them in a position that they could get there after he left. So he's had a nice coaching career. I guess you can out of the Tom Crean coaching tree, I guess you could say, because he's a former Crean player, of course. And whenever there are Marquette head coaching jobs, I mean, it's happened the previous two times. His name is kind of tossed out there. I mean, I think it was just kind of lightly tossed out there the first time around when they hired Buzz, because I think Ward was really just kind of cutting his coaching chops at that time. But, people did throw his name out when Wojo was hired. And whenever Marquette is looking for a head coach again, not necessarily saying it's going to be soon, but whenever the next time Marquette is looking for a coach, because it's going to happen, whether it's
a good leaving or a bad leaving.
Yeah, 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years from now, Brian Wardle's name will come up again for the Marquette job. So happy to see him doing well. I hope he has continued success, and good luck to him in the tournament.
Well, and this the nice thing is it gives me a third team to cheer for in the tournament. Obviously, we have Marquette, then we'd have Bradley, and then the third team is whoever's playing Wisconsin.
Yeah, if you're exactly, that's good. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Team playing Wisconsin. I hope it's not us. I don't think that's going to happen. At least not in the first round. But I was actually curious because I really had no idea what Bradley's resume was like and what kind of seed they might get. I was thinking, man, could Marquette be a 5-12 game with Bradley? But apparently, Bradley's resume is, nowhere near that line. Like Bradley, for what it's worth on Bracket Matrix, looking like a 15. So hopefully, the Fight and Wardles get to avoid Dayton, and they looks like they probably will, but they'll probably get fed to a 2 seed in the first round. But hey, 15 twos have happened.
Yep.
Hell, 16-1s have happened now.
Yeah, like no one can say that we don't have a chance, because literally every lower seed has beaten a higher seed now, every combination has beaten a higher.
Every seed has at least advanced one round in the tournament. So hey, good luck to Brian Wardle. And he doesn't play again for another week. He gets to sit back this week and kick his feet up and just maybe start scouting some potential teams he's going to face. Looking at who are the potential 2 seeds? I guess Kentucky, Tennessee, maybe Duke if they lose their first ACC game. That sounds crazy, but they could potentially fall to a 2 seed with the questions around Zion. Michigan State, Michigan, maybe even LSU. So those are the kind of teams Wardle may be looking at in his first round game, but. Good luck to him, but also good luck to the current Golden Eagles, because, gosh, I would love to be proven wrong about this team. But I think we're both on record as the pessimistic side. A quick one and done, a quick stay in New York.
Yep. I think we're in an unhappy agreement there.
Yes. So hopefully we're proven wrong and we can just shed this pessimism and enjoy March. But just a little tough right now. A little tough. I hope we don't have any more "we gave up winning for Lent" jokes, because that's not funny.
No, nobody likes it.
As always, we thank you for listening here on Scrambled Eggs, everybody. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOF23. Crack Sidewalks is a team handle. You can go to cracksidewalks.com. Post your comments there. That's where we post the podcast. Also, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate your feedback on there. And we also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. If that's your thing, we post them over there as well. Phil, let's shake this stink of this last four games and start anew. It's 0-0, right? Everybody's 0-0.
Yes.
Let's get this thing turned around.
It's as if the last 2 weeks didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get the time stone and totally reverse everything, but you just got to get to hit a fresh reset. 0-0. Go to New York, wreck shit up there, and hopefully prove us wrong and give us something good to talk about on Selection Sunday. We will check in with you. It'll probably be, as always, on the Monday after Selection Sunday, because we'll record our next pod after the selection show is out and we know where Marquette's going. We'll check in with you then. Until then, everybody, try to be happy, eat at Arby's, seashells, and balloons.